The most important business investment that I have ever made, or I think anybody could ever make, is in your mental strength and the stories that you tell yourself and really conquering those negative thoughts.
You've just heard a little snippet from today's episode with Cami Kilgore talking about overcoming rejection and our need for external validation, as well as setting boundaries and knowing when to quit. If you've ever struggled with overcoming naysayers or becoming your biggest advocate, this is the episode for you to master that mindset and take yourself to the next level. Welcome to the Conquering Chaos Podcast. I'm your host, Erin E. Hooley, president and founder of multi-million dollar e-commerce children's clothing line, Bailey's Blossoms. So it turns out I'm pretty good at business, but what really lights my soul on fire is providing other entrepreneurs and mompreneurs with the tools they need to truly succeed. So if you have a business or have one on your heart, you're in good company. Pull up a chair or drop in some earbuds and let's conquer some chaos today. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Conquering Chaos Podcast. I am so excited to introduce you to today's guest. Her name is Cami Kilgore, and she is a rock star in every sense of the word. Event extraordinaire, mother to three adorable kids. Cami, I cannot wait to get into your story and your experience. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you for having me and such a generous introduction. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for being here. Everybody needs to know, who isn't already familiar with who you are, a little bit of your backstory and how you kind of got started.
Sure. So I am a registered nurse, and back in 2013, I started having lots of migraines, and I discovered that I had a really strong sensitivity to dairy. I had to revamp every way that I cooked and made everything dairy free. And in the process, people started asking me for recipes. So I decided to start a food blog to start sharing recipes. And for a couple of years, I was doing the blogging thing, and I started feeling like there was something more I was supposed to be doing with it. And I went to a conference, and at that conference, I had a clear vision of this community I was supposed to build and this conference I was supposed to build. And right then and there, I jumped in with both feet and I started a conference called Everything Food Conference, which is for food bloggers and influencers, YouTubers, anyone creating food online content. And I just jumped in with both feet, and next year will be our 5th year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Did anything like this exist at the time that you kind of went down this path?
So there was just one other conference, but it wasn't serving the community like I knew the community deserved. Mm-hmm. So I approached it very different. And it quickly grew because it was such a need and missing aspect from this other event that was trying to do the same thing.
Right. So as you're stepping into this realm, have you at this point attended just dozens and dozens of conferences to where you know exactly what this needs to look like? Or what was that process like for you?
Oh, I love that question. No, not at all. So I had no event management planning experience whatsoever. I had no sales background in order to pitch sponsors or to sell to attendees. And I really did not have any big name or influence in the food blogging or influencer community whatsoever. So that had been my very, very first conference, the one that I decided right then and there I was going to do it. So I was incredibly naive, but what I felt so strongly is that my head and my heart completely united in that moment. And I had this vision. It was this picture in my head that I could clearly see what I want the event to be, what I wanted people to feel, what I wanted them to experience. And like, I just had this picture in my head of what I wanted to create. And really, that was my 100% my driving force.
That's amazing. A lot of times when people have these grand ideas, and a lot of times they're bigger than we feel like we are, did you struggle with feelings of, who am I to start this event? Who am I to pull this off at all? Or did you just not even entertain that rhetoric and just push forward?
Oh, I love that question because I still will have those thoughts. Still, to this day, I've already done it and I've accomplished, and I will still have those thoughts that creep in. What I have found, the most important business investment that I have ever made, or I think anybody could ever make, is in your mental strength and the stories that you tell yourself, and really conquering those negative thoughts because, man, at the beginning, I was bombarded with rejection. Oh, I made so many mistakes. And I had so many no's and so many failures. And I had those thoughts over and over, but I put in a strategy, I put in a process to not let me truly quit. I've had days where I've had to completely quit. Like that day, I'm like, you know what? I'm done. I'm quitting. I'm checking out, closing down the laptop. Not answering an email. I've had to purposely quit in order for me to gain that strength, to gain that quiet time, to gain that perspective again on why I'm doing this.
I had somebody tell me once, if it gets to the point where you need to fire yourself and then rehire yourself tomorrow morning.
I love that. Yes, I'm all about quitting. Sometimes you need to even quit like up to 3 days, but that's my max. And then I get back up and we go at it again.
I love that. So, what does your support system look like? I'm trying to picture what my husband would do if I went to one conference and came back and said, I'm going to make a conference. So, what was that conversation like?
Love that. So I did come home and that conversation, Brent, just almost as you imagine, I came home. And I was like, you know what? I have this idea. I'm going to start this, food blogging conference. And I already know the name. I know my color palette. I know, what I want people to feel and experience. And my husband, I think we were just so both naive, which is a blessing in hindsight. But my husband was just like, awesome. I know you can do it. Go for it. Like looking back at that moment where it's funny, I kind of laugh at myself, where I had everything stacked against me to fail. Everything. I had no experience or any chance in this. But my husband had that confidence in me. And he's still like that today. So he has been my consistent support and positive voice that I think it's essential for everyone to have, even if it's just one person. I think what we want to do is we want to always look for external validation. And
Yes.
so we talk with a whole bunch of people about our idea. We share our vision with other people. And the reality is, people will just not get it. But
Right.
the goal is to find one person, one solid, consistent person. I'm lucky enough that that's my spouse. And I know that other people are not as fortunate to have that. But just finding one person who will be consistent, who gets your vision, who supports your vision. And when you come to them with problems and real concerns, that they have enough perspective and foresight to say, oh, yeah, this is a problem. We need to do it. Or just say, you know what? Give it a week, give it a month. It's going to blow over. Just keep going.
Absolutely. And really, to have that person who not only hears you and sees your vision, but is also willing to hold you accountable and not let you quit.
Right.
I love that you brought up the external validation because that is something that I have had to struggle with. And I've realized through this entrepreneurial journey that inner strength, my ability to buoy myself up, to not need to constantly get the permission of the people around me to keep moving forward, has drastically increased and therefore has allowed me to grow both individually as well as in entrepreneurship.
Yes, 100%. It's so interesting that every part of your journey, you're learning something. And even in the last couple months, I feel like I had this huge epiphany that I wasn't trusting myself. And that's why we seek external validation, is because we think our ideas or our feelings or, our passions, that we ourselves don't fully trust, or we ourselves aren't completely 100% even convinced that our idea is a good idea. So here we go, like seeking external validations, other people's opinions, other people to get us to that point
Right.
when all along we really have it inside of ourselves. So even in the last couple months, I've evaluated myself and my habits and how I'm doubting myself and just changing the and switching the dialogue in my head and saying, I do know what I'm doing. Look at my track record. It's almost like I have to, it's like I'm a detective proving out my case to myself. Like, listen, Cammie, like you do not need somebody else to tell you that this is a good idea. Do you feel it in your gut? Does it make sense to you? Is there that unison between your head and your heart? If there is, trust yourself and move forward.
And in those moments where you are in the crutches of self-doubt, what is the strength? What's the root of that strength that you call on to pull yourself back out of it?
So my main strength is calling on God, whether it's the universe or something bigger than us or whatever you believe in. For me, having perspective, when I'm truly in the depths of self-doubt and just feeling frustrated and being like, what have I done? That's when I purposely quit because I have to get away. There's actually scientific studies that have supported that when you are so in the thick of it, that your brain, there's part of your brain that completely shuts off and right. It's only activated when you're really resting. So when I am getting to that point where I'm just like overwhelmed and stressed, I shut everything down. Everything has to be shut down. I go on walks with my kids. We go play tennis. I go in the park. I take a true day off mainly for my brain. And then what happens is that this part of your brain that's not accessed when you're constantly working, constantly stressed, constantly on the go and busy, it allows it to relax and open up because that's actually the creative part of our brain that will have the answers that I'm seeking for.
Absolutely. And that's where that innovation comes from. There's a reason that these big players in the industry get out innovated by the little guys who aren't supposed to know squat. And it's because they're so focused in on those weeds that they can't get in and out of them to see anything above it. And that can be so detrimental. So I love that you're very aware of this to the degree that you can step back. You know when you need to stop so that you can re-access that part of your brain that could be both creative and drive that innovation.
Well, and I think it's why it's so hard to do because it almost seems like it's counterproductive.
Yes.
Because here you may have like 100 emails that are urgent that you need to get to and you're making a choice to shut it down and walk away. Our brains and how our nature, how we're grained is no, you just put your shoulder down, you go through and you work through those emails. But what you really need to do is just a moment. Sometimes it's just a couple hours to walk away, allow your brain to relax, because I love that vision of like looking at the weeds, like you're down there, you're pulling out the weeds. But if you just lift up your head and look around, you'll see like the gorgeous rose bushes or like
Absolutely.
The trees and like you'll, but if you are so focused on that one weed that you just cannot pull out of the ground, you're going to miss all of the beauty and all the other inspiration that's around you.
So let's talk about what that looks like. Let's talk about those things that you saw in this creative moment, this innovative moment where you're looking at the industry, what's already there, and you're seeing these gaps and you see an opportunity to fill them. So what was that process like and how was it trying to get other people to catch hold of your vision?
When I first started, like I picked my name, I picked my colors, I started getting a website developed, and then I immediately started reaching out to potential brands who would sponsor my conference or potential attendees who would attend. And I immediately started getting from brands, they would be like, no, we're not interested. Or once they were interested, I would get on a phone call with them. And once they found out it was my very, very first year, the whole tone of the conversation would change. And they would say something like, well, reach out to us next year and let's see how it goes.
Right.
Then I started hearing from other attendees that, like, who's Cammie? Who is this girl? Who does she think she is that she can start a conference? And none of us are going to purchase tickets because we're just anticipating she'll cancel anyway.
Wow.
So I immediately off the bat just start getting everybody telling me they're not interested in my idea. They're not going to support my idea. And I quickly learned, again, that vision that I had in my head and the feeling in my heart that I was supposed to do this was so overwhelmingly strong that it helped, like it was what I completely leaned on.
Yeah.
So I realized I needed to change my process. I needed to tweak my process, and I still do that today. So I tweaked my process and I said, okay, so all these brands are telling me no. A, what can I do to change my process and how I'm presenting the conference? And then also, what am I going to do when I reach a no, because stopping is not an option.
Right.
So I really worked and studied on how I did sales. And again, this comes back to the concept of like just trusting my gut, because I was looking at all these outside sources when my sales tactic is very natural to me and my personality. So I went through all this learning, which is still very, very important. And absolutely, I took skills and tactics from things I learned. But I realized I just needed to trust my natural way that I wanted to present the conference instead of doing something exactly how somebody else was telling me to do it.
Absolutely. I see so many people who try to succeed in business by attempting to copy and paste someone else's methods and strategies, and they get frustrated when it doesn't work. But it often doesn't work because it's not true to our authentic selves. It's that whole you do you concept. So you do you and I'm going to do me. And while yes, we can learn from one another, our execution and overall voice is going to and should be different. So what is the core of what you're trying to bring to the industry? What are you trying to offer and what are you trying to change?
So the very, very core of what I do is that I feel there is too much negativity and contention in our world, period, especially online with social media, news, all of that. It's just bombarding with negativity. So the core of what I do is I feel in this room, I have people who have impact over hundreds of millions of people. Truly, their statistics are amazing. Hundreds of millions of people, I have the privilege and opportunity of getting them in one room once a year. And my whole goal is to help them feel empowered, inspired, positive, creative, all those things that I so wish that we were actually being bombarded with. The whole reason that I do everything is for those moments, for those days that they're at the conference, by the time they leave, those are the feelings I want instilled in them, because then they are going to turn around and impact hundreds of millions of people.
And going back to earlier in our conversation where we were talking about our need to take a break in order to unlock that part of our brain that allows us to innovate and to be creative, there's no better way to do that than to go to a conference.
I just truly feel there will never be a replacement for that face-to-face interaction. And especially in the technology and social media world and texting and all these things, that we are becoming less and less connected.
Absolutely.
That having in-personal events is absolutely a necessity.
Absolutely. So now you're coming up on the 5-year anniversary of this, which is so awesome. And you recently just acquired another conference, didn't you?
I did. Yes. So I just signed everything and finalized everything just this last week. And this is the conference that I actually attended and was inspired to start everything.
No way.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is so amazing. I'm like pinching myself. So it's called Snap Conference, and it's for DIY craft creative influencers and bloggers. And it will be in its 10th year next year. And I'm so excited to apply everything that I've learned and the processes to this new event to give it, you know, some TLC and an uplift, and to now start helping build that community also.
That's incredible. Congratulations. That's huge.
Thank you.
So I have to ask, 3 kids, how are you balancing all of these things?
So I think I've let go of the concept of balance, because I think sometimes it's this unrealistic expectation I set on myself of this balanced world, or, you know, this envision that I have, and I can, and in a sense, I will create unnecessary stress or disappointment or frustrations in myself. It is crazy. As you can imagine, I have little kids. I juggle. Sometimes I have to be like holding my baby and having a business call at the same time and trying to send out texts. My kids go to bed early at 7, and then I'm on the computer at 7:01 working in the evenings. But one thing that I've realized, because it's just so crazy, and I just don't love always being so busy. So I've had to hire out or do really smart strategic partnerships. I found people within my network and stuff that we could collaborate. You know, I could help them with one aspect as they help me with the other. Just being very strategic, because I'm always trying to figure out when I feel overwhelmed or stressed, I know that it's something in my process, whether it's the process in my mind or my external process with my life and my business. And I really do not enjoy the feelings of that being overwhelmed and stressed. I hate it. I feel it's just my trigger where I'm like, okay, something's not working. What do I need to do to revamp my process?
Well, it sounds like you're incredibly self-aware, which is a huge component of this. You have to be self-aware to know where those limitations are and to know when a new boundary needs to be put into place. And then you're also quick to identify the driving force of that so that you can then set up a solution to kind of get over that hump. And for our listeners, you and I met recently in an elevator while at a conference, and I was instantly drawn to you because of the way that you carried yourself. It was clear that you knew who you were and where you were going because of the confidence that you exuded. And it wasn't an arrogance, but really just a humble confidence that's perfectly approachable and also just incredibly captivating. So when you have that self-awareness and you know who you are, you know what you want out of life, the general direction that you're heading, and you may not have all the answers as to how you're going to get there, but just having that determination to say, by golly, I'm going to figure it out along the way. It's just that kind of thing that we don't notice in ourselves, but the people around us absolutely take notice of.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. One important thing that I want to add, it truly has been all those dark, ugly, hard, challenging times where I just question everything, that even though we hate all of those moments, they're so incredibly necessary to help you build the strength and confidence and perception. Because when you are in those dark, really ugly situations or moments, it strips away everything that really is not important, and it puts right in front of your face the most important things. And so, you know, whenever I meet people like that, I remind myself that it must have taken a lot of darkness and hard times in order for them to break away from all of the silliness that truly does not matter, to keep your eyes focused on what does matter.
Absolutely. I just had a friend of mine post on Instagram a quote that I saved because I loved it so much. And it said, "Now every time I witness a strong person, I want to know, what dark did you conquer in your story? Mountains do not rise without earthquakes."
Oh, I love that.
It just gave me chills when I read it. I thought, oh, yes. And everybody who sees only the aftermath, sees the mountain without the earthquake, it can feel very easy to kind of deflate yourself and feel like, who am I up against this person and their experience? But when you start to realize what that experience is made of, it's all that struggle and all of that persistence and perseverance to be able to get through it. We start to realize that we're really quite connected and we have so much more in common than we don't.
Absolutely. And if you have any listeners who are in those moments where it's hard to like see yourself out of the earthquake or out of the ditches, like, you just have to hang on. That every man, I have made some massive mistakes that I thought were going to come bring my business crumbling down. And at that moment, it felt so overwhelming. And so I was so disappointed in myself. But as I worked through, and, you know, the process that I did to get myself out of that ditch, now is an essential skill that I need right here, right now, in order to run my business. So when we're in those trenches, I like to tell myself, awesome, okay, this is exactly what I'm going to need for something in the future. Right now, it's painful, but I've had to learn this lesson because in the future, it's going to make my life so much easier and such a blessing.
I love that. So what would you say is one of the most rewarding things about entrepreneurship?
You know, the most rewarding thing has been that my husband was working full time as I was kind of building this on the side. And one year ago, he was able to quit his corporate job. And now we work together.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's huge.
I mean, it's of course been an adjustment and been a process, but now that we're here over a year figuring it out and that we can truly team home together, we can team work
right.
together, we can be a team and not have to worry about PTO or, you know, taking time off or some holiday or
right.
some vacation, that it's all on us has been awesome.
Oh, we could have a whole other conversation about this because my husband quit his corporate career about 2.5, almost 3 years ago. And it's been so much learning, but so many blessings also. So I'm just so grateful for the whole journey that we've been through together. So what is one of the biggest mistakes that you've made as an entrepreneur?
Oh, I have several, but I'll tell you about one. So 6 months in after I started Everything Food, I was just on the hustle, right? I was reaching out to every Facebook group I knew who was associated or reaching out to every brand. Like I just was on this like hustle thing. So 6 months in, I get accepted to this really big Facebook group that has tons of really influential food bloggers and influencers. I mean, the perfect demographic who I want to come attend. Well, out of being naive in my hustle, I break a rule. I'm not even in the group 24 hours. I get kicked out. People are so mad at me. They're vowing off my conference and I'm devastated. Like, I was like, how could I have made this mistake? Like, I just wasn't even thinking. I remember calling my husband and basically saying, this thing is over before it even began. I just made this stupid mistake. Everybody hates me. Nobody trusts me. No way they're ever going to come to my conference. And I just like wallowed in self-pity for like days. I was so sick that I did this. Then I had a thought that came that I can either quit or I can do my best to make up for this mistake, keep my eyes on the goal and keep going. And
yeah.
ultimately that's what I had to do is just find it in me to move on from it. Forgive myself for just being like naive.
And we all have those experiences. I don't know a single entrepreneur that can't look back and be embarrassed by something or a myriad of things that we've done out of our lack of experience. But it's so important too for those who are just getting started, for the fear of messing up, the fear of embarrassment, not to be your stop all, because you have to get through that and you have to value the knowledge, the experience, the wisdom you're going to gain from falling flat on your face more than you value not wanting to look silly.
I do an opening keynote at my conference every year, and on the post-conference survey, I was reading through the people's favorite speakers, and there was like 20 to 30 people who mentioned me, and I was like so flattered. I didn't even think people would have me on the radar. And I started reading the least favorite speakers, and I got to the second to the last comment, and it said, Cammie was just awful. She has no substance. And it was like a slap across the face. And that comment actually sent me on a journey to like studying more about public speaking, to studying about how to share my message, to study all this type of stuff. I'm not meant to serve everyone. It's just not possible. Not everybody's going to connect with me. Not everybody's going to like me. And that's fine. Focus on the people who I can serve and who do resonate with my message.
I love that. And really just listen to people, but compartmentalize your truth. To be able to listen to that negative feedback and just say, okay, I'm not going to be emotionally connected to this, but what of this? Is there truth in it for me where I can take it as an action item, as a catalyst for change and in growth and improvement? And what of it can I just place over here on the shelf because it really doesn't matter? That ability to kind of roll with those punches and not just roll with them, but to really adapt and grow with them is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. And then they're great stories for when you're interviewed on a podcast.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Okay. So if you were just starting out, what advice would you give to yourself?
Find one person who sees your vision, who supports your vision. And that's the only person that you ask for advice or feedback from. Do not take your idea and share it with your whole family, share it with all your friends, because people are not going to get that feeling you have inside or that vision that you have in your head. Because I had people come and say, oh, you cute blogger, you. Oh, that's such a cute idea. Like, it was so deflating. That would be my number one advice, is that
yes.
trust in yourself, trust in that feeling
yes.
that you have in your heart and your head. You don't need anybody else to validate you.
We have enough doubts that we have to overcome on our own. We don't need to fill our head with everybody else's doubts.
Oh, yes. Totally agree. I would not open myself up like I did to more critique and more doubts and more criticism. I would have just continued on with this vision that I knew it was in me to be able to make it happen.
And look how well that has served you. Now you've got these two conferences that you are in charge of. You've got three children. Chaos all around. A beautiful chaos, but chaos all around. So how do you conquer your chaos?
I've had to get really narrowed down on my processes. As soon as I feel that feeling, like I mentioned before, of stress, overwhelm, frustration, annoyance, or like any of those negative type of feelings, that is a trigger to me that something that I am doing is not on point with my process, or it's time for me to revamp my process altogether, because I know that those feelings are a signal to me that the chaos that I'm juggling, it's just not working.
I love it. One of the things that I hope everybody is able to take away from this episode is that we have the power within ourselves to be able to analyze the doubts that we have, to be able to receive the feedback that we get, and use it as an identifier and a catalyst for change. And that is so incredibly powerful. Cami, this has been so great. I could seriously talk to you all day, but I know you are a busy woman. So where can everybody find more of you and find more information about your conferences?
So for Everything Food Conference, it's just everythingfoodconference.com. We have a Facebook group and social media that you can follow us on, and a newsletter. So all that data is on the website. Again, it's everythingfoodconference.com. And then for SNAP Conference, snapconference.com, same. It has the email, newsletter, social media, and a Facebook group on that website also.
Thank you so much. Cami, I really appreciate you taking the time to serve my community and share your wonderful experiences as well.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Thank you for taking the time to connect with me here on the Conquering Chaos podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, will you please take a moment to leave a review? It's the fuel to my fire and lets me know that my efforts to enact change and broaden your perspective of what's possible matter. Thank you so much for your support. If you want more content like this, don't forget to subscribe and connect with me on social media at Erin E. Hooley or at erineehooley.com. Have a fantastic day. Get out there and conquer some chaos.